Everyone stand. We'll be reading from Matthew 24, starting in verse 36. But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known it, what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let the house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Be seated. You know, as I was thinking about this and thinking about this sermon, I'm gonna do the best that I can to get through it. If there was already not enough pressure on me, then Annalie went and did this. And, you know, it kind of changed my whole mindset for the day. And so as I am doing this, and I was writing this sermon and thinking about this moment, I was thinking of all the memories, all the conversations, all the people that have made this moment for us possible. And we all know that feeling. We're all sitting in here for a reason. We're all sitting in here because of the memories and the conversations and the people that have made this possible. And as I think about it, I think about Laurie and I and everything we did to prepare for this moment. For us, it was 13 years in the making, watching Annalie grow up, wondering at certain moments, praying in all the moments, and just hoping, because seriously, when we really think about it, that's what we're doing, is we're hoping that the Spirit would do what the Spirit does. But when I look at it in its totality, in this moment, I realize something. That none of this moment that we just had, the moments that we've had in the past and the moments that we'll have in the future, are not possible if Laurie or I or you had done nothing. If you would have just not spoken a word of encouragement, if you had not given a hug or said a joke or made someone laugh. And what I mean is this, if no effort or time had been poured into her life or in your life, then none of this would be possible. We would not have the moment like we had today or any other moment. And as I thought about that and as I think about that, then I think the Boy Scouts probably have it right. Be prepared. Be prepared. And so we find ways to prepare ourselves, whether it's preparing for the future and whatever that future might look like. And it may mean retirement. It may mean possible dream jobs. It may mean getting into college or any other future endeavor, which could be becoming a new parent. And as I wrote that, I realized becoming a new parent could mean you becoming a new parent of a human or becoming a new parent of a dog. I mean, have you seen what it's like to get an animal? I mean, it takes everything. I mean, it takes all you got. So all of that, you have to be prepared. Each has things that must be done, that must be accomplished for the said future. And the one common attribute to all of this is we have to do something. We can't just sit back and do nothing. We can't prepare for it. We have to do something. But notice what I didn't say here, and this is the key that we'll get to in the text. This is the key. Notice I didn't say we have to know everything, because we're not going to know everything. No matter what we think we know about the future, we find out in the future that we don't know it all, that we don't have it all figured out. I mean, I think about, again, us preparing for Annalie and as she was entering into the world, and Laurie and I did the best that we could to get ready. We baby-proofed everything. We got all the stuff out that we thought we knew. We did everything in anticipation for her to come, and we found out really quick that we had no idea what we were doing. I mean, how many times did I find myself saying, how long, oh Lord, how long will this virus last? How long, oh Lord, will this diaper be full? Or as they get older, how long, oh Lord, will this talking continue? But you know what? We kept doing. We kept changing diapers. We kept listening. And we kept taking care of. We were prepared the best we could be for what we were doing, knowing in the back of our head we didn't have it all figured out. And I think that's the thing about expectation. As we move into this season, which, by the way, you turned your calendar over this morning, right? December 1st. How'd we get here? December 1st, 25 or 24, math at my best, until Christmas, and we celebrate the coming of Jesus into the world, Emmanuel, and as Matthew 1:23 reminds us, God is with us. We know that as we flip over the calendar in December, we're in a different time. The calendar tells us we're in a different time. And as those who claim that God came into the world through Jesus, we begin to remember, we begin to celebrate, and we begin to prepare. I mean, we can't look out in the foyer and not notice wreaths are going up, right? The day after Christmas, everyone turns on their Christmas lights, and all of a sudden you notice that people have the blow-up things and all that. We get ready for Christmas. And by the way, can we say one thing about that? No Christmas music until after Thanksgiving. I don't care what anybody thinks. You might say, no, Russell, I want Christmas music all the time. No Christmas music until after Thanksgiving. And no Christmas lights until after Thanksgiving. Let me celebrate one holiday before the next holiday, okay? I need my moments. Give me Halloween, give me Thanksgiving, and then you can have Christmas. Sidebar's done. But this is the time that we begin to celebrate the coming of Jesus. But as Christians, we also prepare in another way. We are also people who are preparing for the arrival of Jesus again. And so this Christmas, as every Christmas for us, we remember that we are the people, as the theologian Karl Barth says, who live between the times. We are in the already. Jesus has come. Jesus has said in Mark 1, the kingdom of God is near. But we're also in the not yet. Jesus has not returned, but we're waiting for Jesus' return. We live in the expectation of Jesus returning when all things will be made new. When, as Revelation 21, 3 through 4 says, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, 28, I don't have that up there, I thought I did. In 1 Corinthians 15, 28, when God will become all in all. And so the text we read in Matthew, the text we read in Matthew 26 is one of expectation and preparation. It's not so much the happy-go-lucky text that we normally sometimes read as Christmas starts. It's not the know that a child is coming. It's a little bit different, but it's an important text nonetheless. It's a text that should be ringing in our ears as we prepare for Christmas and as we prepare to go on this journey for the next 25 days to the coming of the child. Because you see, many of us, including myself, get occupied or maybe even preoccupied with the return of Jesus. I think back in all of this is this week, I thought back to the many times I was with my Nana, and I would sit with her in Quanah, Texas. If you know where Quanah, Texas is, you get bonus points. Sitting with her in Quanah, Texas, and I would sit with her in the recliner. She would be in one recliner, I'd be in the other recliner, and she would reminisce on when Jesus would return, and my Nana was dead set that Jesus was coming back in her time. My grandma Franz in Hillsborough, Kansas. Extra bonus points if you know where that is. In Hillsborough, Kansas. Would pray at night, and I remember because she had one bathroom, and you had to go through her bedroom to go to the bathroom, and would pray at night, and you could overhear her prayers, and she, too, prepared and believed that Jesus would come in her generation. I think all generations have this thought that Jesus will return, that Jesus will come back in their lifetime. And as we read this text in Matthew 24, we can't help but believe that probably the Methodian community, remember Matthew's writing to a community of people, the Methodian community is probably thinking the same way. This gospel, which was written somewhere between 80 and 90 AD, is written to a community that was 50 years removed from Jesus' ascension. And like us, they too were asking, how long were they going to have to wait? How long until Christ came back? How long, being a very theological thing for the people of God to ask? We see it in, there's that text. We see it in a couple different spots. We see it here in Daniel 8:13. We see it in the vision of Daniel when the people say, for how long is this vision concerning the regular burnt offerings? As Daniel has a vision of the kingdom coming. And then we see it again in Revelation 6:10. They cried out in a loud voice, Sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long will it be before you judge and avenge our blood on the inhabitants of the earth? We too, like generations prior, continue to ask as we look at this world, how long, O Lord? How long will it be until you come back, until you right all things? And as we begin this Christmas season, it's the same question we'll ask today. It's the same question we'll ask over the next few weeks. The question which, as we see in this text, elicits a response from Jesus. And Jesus' response is this in Matthew 24. I will return. He says, I will return, but the date, as he says in verse 36, the date is going to be unpredictable. The date will not know. And we're not getting into this, but I know that many people have tried to pinpoint that date. And every time someone tries to pinpoint that date, there's always that other side who doesn't like it, and billboards go up with this verse. No one knows the hour. Why? Because we're all, as a people, trying to prepare ourselves, wanting to prepare ourselves for when Christ will return. As we enter into Christmas, we enter into a time of preparation. We enter into a time of expectation. And so opposite of the days of Noah, in which Jesus says here in verse 37, opposite of the days of Noah, people can get so focused on the return of Jesus that they miss the point of living. They just miss the point of living. They miss the everyday moments with family and friends. However, there is the flip side, and Jesus mentions this with the comments in Noah. We move to the other extreme. That other extreme meaning we forget that Jesus will return. Where expectations meet apathy. We become apathetic to the someday return of Jesus. We buy into the notion that all we have is what is right in front of us and what is right now. And so let us drink, be merry, and eat good food. None of that is bad stuff. But in so doing, when this becomes all you do, when you live this way, we forget. We become unprepared. And some even give up. Others may think right now that, well, what I'll do is I'll have a good time now, and then when I get older, then I'll think about coming back to God, right? But right now, let me have my good moments in this lifetime. And then after I get everything prepared for the future, two different futures we're looking at, then I'll come back. And that's the thing about all this, is apathy is an easy lifestyle shift, because apathy focuses on you, it focuses on your concerns, it focuses on your needs, it focuses on your wants, and it focuses on your desires. And notice the issue here, because what apathy then leads to, and Jesus makes note of it here in verse 38, for he says, for as in those days when the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving into marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. This kind of apathy, this kind of forgetfulness leads to a type of consumption, whether it be food and drink or just stuff, that this thing becomes all about you. That the life we are called to in Jesus, what Jesus is saying in this moment is the life that you're called to is one that you must be continually attentive to. That living in the expectation of the return of Jesus should not paralyze us, right? Should not paralyze us to the point that we're trying to pinpoint a date. It should not exhaust us, and it should not scare us. Instead, expectation and preparedness molds us. And as one theologian says, he says this, he says, rather, it has to do with living in the expectation that the teachings and example of Jesus are the norm. That what we saw just now with Anna Lee and others and yourself, this decision that you made to live in the way of Jesus is what you prepare your life for. It becomes the norm. It becomes how you live. Living in expectation is who we are. And so we begin to read in the next section in Matthew 25 that Jesus doubled down on this. And if you read that section, you'll notice three different parables. And in the first parable, he'll talk about the bridegroom. He'll talk about the bridegroom coming and the brides who are attentive to their oil and the brides who are unattentive to their oil. The ones who are attentive to their oil, attentive to their life, are the ones who are welcomed. Then we notice about the talents, right? The one who invested wisely, as opposed to the one who just buried the talents. And then we get to that all too familiar passage in verse 31. The final parable in which the Son of Man comes and he divides left and right. And if you notice what he says here, when he says, when the Son of Man comes, I'll divide left and right. And what do you notice he says? He says, those on the right are the ones who are living in the way of Jesus as a norm. They're clothing people. They're giving people a cup of water. They're being attentive to their life and the life of others. Those who weren't, Jesus says, are on the left. So there is this idea that the return of Jesus, that Jesus coming back, should cause us to live in a certain way and to speak a certain way. Rather than being worried about the future, there seems to be an emphasis on the here and now. In verses 40 and 41, we see this. Two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. We always seem to get focused on one will be taken, one will be left. But there's something else going on here. Do you notice what's happening in this moment? There are two women in the field and they're working. They're still doing their daily life. They're still living their life in a way. They're not sheltering away to prepare to fly away some way. No, they're in the field. And that's what the life of expectation looks like for us as we wait between the times. We live in the space between already and not yet. But it's not a space that was created by God to be a fear of what if or I don't know. And by the way, reread this text and you'll see three different times, verse 36, verse 39, and verse 42, in which Jesus says you're not going to know. This is the space already and not yet that the disciples work and live and witness to the coming of Jesus. In good times and in difficult times, we are the people who keep on moving forward. It's the one thing we know how to do. Jesus didn't call us to be passive in our faith and life, but he called us to be active, even in this moment, as we wait. We prepare ourselves is an active thing. That's why I said the Boy Scouts at the very first, be prepared. It's an active thing. You continually are preparing yourself. Active in the lives of each other, active in the lives of our neighbors. We live and we speak the good news with the time that we have today. And we are an apocalyptic people. And that word I know you've heard shouldn't scare you. Apocalyptic, think of it this way. Apocalyptic means this, there are changes coming. There is something going on in the world right now. A future is coming in this space. A kingdom is coming. And while we wait in expectation for the final kingdom to come, we also prepare for the future by living now into the coming future. We are a people who live into the future. We live as if the future is arriving, for crying out loud. Why? Because we live as Jesus lived, a completely different way than what the world says. We prepare for the future by living into the future. And as we do, we keep inviting more people to participate. We keep inviting more people to participate with us in this. Why? Because we see the coming kingdom as good news. We invite people to live with us in the way of Jesus because Jesus says in verse 44 of this, therefore you also must be ready for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. We do it because we know that we don't know. And so we continually tell the good news. We continually live the good news. We don't know everything, and faith reminds us that we don't know everything, but what we do know is something must be done. Something has to be done in this space. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 11:1 reminds us that faith is what we hope for and the conviction of what we do not see, of what we do not know. Therefore, our life in Jesus does not end at the event of baptism, which we just saw. It actually begins and is an ongoing event. And as I quote the poet Bob Dylan, this is what he says. The only thing I know how to do was to keep on keeping on, like a bird that flew, tangled up in blue. Don't tell me that man doesn't know how to write. But we are a people who keep on keeping on. Therefore, the unpredictable nature of the return of Jesus should not be something that scares us or causes us to insulate ourselves from others. It should not cause us to worry about the future or become cynical about life. Instead, what we read is the coming of Jesus at whatever time, at whatever moment, should have a positive and hopeful effect on everything that we do. We are assured that the history we live into is God's history because we're celebrating God entering into the world. And we live in God's story. This is not the story of God who doesn't care about us. It's a story of a God who does care. It's a story of a God who saves. We are saved into a new and glorious future. We should live as if we're saved into a new and glorious future. One we are not afraid or tentative about, but one in which we all want to experience. We want others to experience. Your life is being prepared for a reason. And as a theologian says, discipleship is not an event or a phase, but a constant state of being prepared and committed to fellow humans. And so as we move into Christmas, as we move into this already Jesus has returned and we look for Jesus' coming at birth, Jesus entering into our world, into a normal everyday world, December 1st also reminds us that we're living into a moment in which we're waiting on Christ to return. And in between those two moments, Jesus says in Matthew 24, how are you living? Are you living in the expectation of the coming of the King? How are you preparing yourself? Are you preparing yourself by with this apathy type of protectionism, type of doing it all for you, preparing for your own future? Or are you living in this way that is preparing for the future of God that's coming? Does your life look like Jesus' life? Are you realizing, are you preparing your life to look like Jesus' life in everything you do? Because we live in a big world, and as Dylan says, we are tangled up in the blue. But what we do is keep on keeping on. We keep on keeping on. Living in between the time is keep on keeping on. Keep moving forward. Keep preparing ourselves for the return of Jesus as we also await the baby of Jesus who comes in a few weeks. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to look at this. What does it look like to live a life of expectation? What does it look like to be prepared for the coming of Jesus? Next week, we'll look at hope. It's a hard word, hope. But we are to be a people of hope. If you have any needs this morning, if you have any concerns, we'll have elders down front. We'll be up front, but come now as we stand and as we sing.